So I just wanted to share with you kind of some of the slides or whatever that Joe DeCapps gave. And he opened it up with that, and it was kind of neat. It was just, and that's why I transcribed it, because maybe you want to go back and read it. It's available on our website, like the biggci.org website, because I recorded the session, but it sounded terrible because Jacob and I were coloring and it was like, and clinkling and talking and stuff like that. But yeah, very, very neat. And kind of just shows you, like, these are men that I've listened to, you know, they're church, like our friends, like our buddies, and like they're, you know, all over the place, and they're welcoming our fellowship and just looking in our fellowship. And I found that kind of neat to start off the, you know, the conference with. We're like, oh, this is the out the back door. So some of these are kind of old clips. And but Joe DeCatch mentioned, you know, this is where we've come from. And then he kind of bookend the conference with where are we going. So I'll just get my notes here. And he's quite funny. He had some jokes all the way through. One interesting story was that I guess his grandfather knew about the Trinity. So we were kind of making that transition and then kind of understanding the Trinity. The Trinity maybe is not the full explanation of God, but it's the closest we have in language to try and understand it. And so when we were making these changes, and the Trinity was the first one, that he went to describe like all the changes and what happened at Hunt Office. And it was kind of an interesting story. But his grandfather was sort of like, knew about this, but didn't say anything. Just, you know, I'll let you guys, you know, go with your fellowship. And then so many years later, 10 years later, obviously we made the changes. And then the story was, and they told him, you know, oh, well, now we believe the Trinity. And then they're like, well, I'll be. Grandpa was right, you know. So it was actually the fact that he didn't say anything, but he knew about it. And so Joe DeCatch, you know, shared that story. It was very, very cool. Kathy Detto talked about, so she's the... The two theologians, Kathy and Gary Detto, I think they're both doctors.
I've been looking forward to this.
Maybe next slide. Just flip to the next slide. Oh, there we go. Yeah. Anyway, so I've met both Gary and Kathy. I don't know if you guys have met the Dettos, but they're sort of on our theological board, and they're making sort of a lot of decisions theologically, what we believe. Before the conference, Joe DeCatch asked Gary Detto to do like a paper or something about our beliefs, some of the doctrines, and sort of clarifying them, which would be great sermon material later. Not big doctrinal changes. I had someone in Edmonton come up and say, doctrinal changes, oh no! I said, no, this is clarifying. It's like taking kind of a murky kind of what we've described and clarifying it. The Dettos are very good with language, and they can paint a picture, and it's wonderful. So they sort of, you know, shared a little bit. And incidentally, the speaking of life that we see, and also the weekly update that the pastors get, Joe DeCatch writes, and, you know, it looks brilliant. It makes Joe DeCatch, and he get up there and he says, you guys, you know, think I'm a brilliant theologian. Well, I write some sketch notes, give it to Gary Detto, and he's the one that just formulates it and puts it back. Goes, no, that's exactly what I wanted to say. So Gary is behind the scene, or as a good theologian. He's written some books, but he's mostly edited. He's known in the industry as being a very good editor and very clear thinker and stuff. So we've got a good one. Like, he's known in the community, which it's kind of nice. And, you know, so they often speak at conferences, and she got up and talked about the wholehearted fellowship in Jesus. And her point was, you know, I can say a name tag, you know, I'm Evelyn's husband. That's how I'm known, right? Isn't that who I am, right? Well, you know, in terms of like, well, I'm, you know, that's who I am. I'm Florent Kaburski's son. You know, does God look at me like that? No, he looks at my name tag and says, I am Mark Kaburski. I am, you know, and that's how he individually, you know, says, you are who you are. I've designed you who you are because you are special. You have all these other sort of relationship, father, husband, you know, whatever, but your relationship is, you know, fully with God, and I found that kind of neat. And she made a comment, in the West, we label our relationships and said, this is who is your so-and-so, but But in the East, like, they're sort of like, this is who you are as a family. And often their religion or their, you know, belief system defines who they are. In the West, we kind of separate that. We're like, oh, well, you know, I'm so-and-so. Yeah, and I go to church, right? Where in, you know, the Eastern cultures, it's like, I am this. I embody this. This is who I am. And I think our church has always sort of felt that, because when I talk to my mom, you know, it's like, well, is it church? I said, no, it's a way of life. This is how we live. And I thought, you know, to explain that to people that, you know, are you go to church? I said, well, no, it's a way of life. This is who I am. And incidentally, it's funny because they had not arrived yet, my family. So I wrote down in my diary, and I've got a picture of these minions and sort of like this thing. And I'm like, all this talk of relationships, and I'm finding it really, really hard. I'm missing my family. You know, so we talked a lot about relationships and our triune union with God and our fellowship of all these, you know, congregations. And here I am without my family. So I thought it was interesting that I was like, you know, I really, really do love them and I want to be with them. So that capture, that felt that quite real. There was a couple of other different sessions, and then we had some breakout sessions if you liked what you wanted. One of them was building a culture of generosity. And this can be said for a few things, but you've got the vision up here, you know, what God puts in your brain to say, I want to do this. This is what I think we should go for. And then you've got sort of your finances or your, you know, what you've got for your base of people or your resources, right? So you've got this sort of thing going on. And you go, God, why do you give me this vision? And you got this as resources. Like, we can't do that. You know, physically, it's not possible. And that's where God comes in and he can create, you know, this resources where there isn't any. You know, he brings this up. And I thought that was kind of neat. They walked through that. And that was a very cool session. There was another session called Giant. I actually went to this one. It was quite neat. They put you into these different categories. Obviously, you guys can't see this, but I'll hear it for Facebook or for YouTube. There's different types of categories. Like, there's pioneers out there, you know. There's people that are nurturers, you know, people that will come and nurture people. There's creative people, which when I was in this session coloring, the lady goes, I think I know what you are. I said, yeah, I'm very creative. Connectors, people that want to connect people and stuff like that. And one of the neat slides that they put up here, if I can go through this, was building the bridge. I know you guys can't see this, or maybe you can actually, probably next slide. Oh, there you go, you guys can see this, yeah. Next slide, I think, is there's a building the bridge. So we've got, probably after that, there's sort of, yeah, there it is. So there's, on the one side, you've got, you know, the pioneers, creative kind of connectors looking, how do we get to the Gulf of the other side? Yeah, people that think big and they're like, oh, we need to do this and that and that, and they're full of ideas and full of possibilities and full of all this, but there's a big gulf between there. Like, how do you get over that gulf, right? Well, the different personality types there, the guardian or the nurturer would be the ones that go through and say, you know, I'm going to systematically figure out how do we build a bridge to walk across those things. And this group is a Christian group that is, you know, this works in business also, but it works in the church to say, recognizing who are you in the fellowship? Are you the one building the bridge? Are you the one that says, okay, now we need to figure out this great idea by Mark and figure out how do we get that to, you know, our the other side, or what the vision? And it was kind of neat to sort of explore that a little bit and try and figure out where you are and where you fit. Very, very neat session. Incidentally, if you guys are interested to figure out what your personality type for whatever this is, there's a free www.fivevoices.com. So five, the letter five, and voices, plural with an S, .com. And you can go through it very easy. He'll probably try and sell you a book, but don't buy it. Or we'll do buy it, whatever. But you can sort of understand, you know, these different personality types. And I found that very, very enlightening. And quite a few people in that session. It was kind of neat to sort of get on the floor and stuff. I think the next slide, I've got a couple of pictures. Yeah, so I put in, and I think I might actually move towards this. I like drawing. I really, really like drawing. I have no idea. It's just helps me, you know, when I look at these colors and stuff, I can even hear the people, you know, as they're talking. So we had an African update with all the many different countries there. Incidentally, there's over 1,000 dialects in these countries. That's like a brick wall to try and spread the gospel. And you think, wow, 1,000 dialects. But God is doing, you know, amazing things in Africa. We got I guess an update from Colin Gooley, so as known as KK. He's like, you know, and he's all over the place and, you know, doing things in Africa. Our message is of peace. We are GCI, a message of peace and love. That was sort of like what they were saying. And then sort of we had an Australian update, which is interesting because these people are so funny. They got a picture of, like, there's nothing in there, there's giant rats, scorching deserts, fires, there's poisonous snakes, mosquitoes, sharks. Sharks with freaking lasers on it. So he gets up there, this is director of the, you know, Australia, and he's like so funny. He's like, our fellowship really has a lot of cards, you know, really wonderful people. And this was different this year. I don't know if Bob mentioned that. Before, we had sort of the lunch or breakfast, and we listened to an update, and it was sort of like clinking of glasses, and it wasn't, you know, you couldn't really hear what was happening, and the person, you know, presenting had to eat real fast, and they're kind of nervous and stuff. So this session they had where they put out every parts of the world, and they said, okay, now we're going to, as a fellowship, listen to the update. And it was very neat, because you could actually, you know, hear it, draw pictures, you know, and you could understand that we're really part of a huge fellowship. And it is very heartwarming. And then you're sitting in the elevator, or you're sitting at breakfast with somebody, and you see a name of, oh, you're from Africa. I heard so-and-so talk. How is that? You know, and how is this? So it's kind of like neat to interact and meet different people. Had an Indian update as well. One was kind of interesting. Bangladesh was like, we get 10,000 goats, apparently, like from our fellowship. And the comment was, this liberates people to make them like Bill Gates, to become self-sufficient. So to get a goat in like Bangladesh or places like this is like, you're like a millionaire, a billionaire. Like, ooh, I have a goat. You know, I can have another goat, and then you can make more goats, and you can sell cheese, and you can sell, you know, milk and stuff like that. You can sell, you know, like the beef. Like, you're self-sufficient. You're like an empire. Interesting, we don't think that, like to have a goat, you know, whatever. But for there, that's like really good. So when we send money to buy goats, it's a really huge opportunity for them. There was a session there, I don't know if I'm, probably next slide, but had the young pastors get up. And Aaron Tolentino, he's going to kill me, I don't know how to pronounce his name. He was one of them that got up there, and he's, you know, talked about the fellowship there. And I visited his fellowship when I was invited up there. But there was a couple other people, Dustin from Cincinnati, Jason from Kansas City, Dwight. I know I've talked about Dwight. You might have seen him on the video or SCP if you've ever been. He was there, and he was actually graduated. They had a graduating ceremony, and then he became like a pastor, like senior pastor, like, you know, that. So there's kind of neat to see those young guys. Like, I think I'm young in my 40s. These guys are in their, you know, late 20s or 30s, and now they're, you know, becoming senior pastors. And just to see kind of the what they're doing is they pass the baton on. It's very, very exciting. And I think Bob mentioned that he got a lot out of that, because he was like, oh, wow, you know, we can see that these young generation, you know, kind of my peers, are sort of taking on and going different directions, similar to what, you know, God would want in the Holy Spirit. But, you know, it's our fellowship, and it's growing and it's moving. And one comment that one of them said is, we are God's favorite, and so is everyone else. You know, so it's like, yeah, we are. And another comment was, people are the greatest joy and the greatest pain, right? It's like both of them, right? Yep, so then we did some traveling, and we had some fun. I have the United States had some update as well. One of the models that they're working towards is... what is this? Provisional. You know, when we talk about things, you say we need to do a youth outreach, we need to do this. That's sort of provisional, sort of saying we'll be planning this, we're moving in that direction. But then there needs to be a plan after that. Remember, I just talked about the different personality types. So someone will express all this, and then the other personality type, okay, let's get a plan, let's put this in action. And then there's participation. So they talked about these different kind of levels and you know, how we could get things moving. And a lot of churches talked about, what can we do in the community? Can we do like garage sales? Can we do like community picnics and stuff, and like our idea of doing kids church, or, you know, like that. Those ideas, you know, populating and just sort of getting us an idea of where we can, you know, become part of the community. I think one of the pastors said three things, right? When you think about engaging in our communities, right? One, do the people know you who you are. Like around in Westlock, for instance, do people know who we are, number one? Number two, if we were suddenly moved, would people know about it? Would they sort of, you know, would they actually know? And number three, would they miss us? So I thought those were kind of thoughts that we'd stop. And as we kind of work more from a commuter church to more community, and this is sort of, you know, something that, you know, we're, as a fellowship, we're journeying through, we're working through. And even as, you know, Bob has mentioned that he's going to retire at some point, and, you know, I'm going to sort of have to, you know, join him in service and do certain things. And how does that work? How does that look, you know? And we know that Gary Moore is retiring, and we had, I forgot his name, he was there, but Gary Moore actually was, it was kind of nice.
Bill Hall,
yeah. And I kind of razzed him because we had like all the Edmonton, all of Canada sitting around, and we put Bill Hall in the middle, kind of like, yeah, we need to frost you, you know, we need to rough you up, you know. And, you know, just all in good fun, obviously. But yeah, we had a chance to share. So my wife was there. Obviously, Jacob wasn't because there was alcohol served, but we all got to mingle together as a Canadian fellowship in here, and Gary made that happen. It was kind of nice. And one of the big things that seemed to be a theme about all through this was like the baton passing. You know, there's, you know, Joe DeCatch obviously is stepping down, I guess, as president. He'll still be around, but Greg Williams is now going to be in January 2019. Yeah, so it's like a year and a bit. And but he was talking about saying the baton passing, you know, from this generation down to the next. And so that's what I was saying when Bob might see this conference in different eyes than I did. You know, he started looking kind of like, well, you know, where do we need to help mark out and plant? And then I'm like, wow, what are we ever going to do all this, right? And I really had a crisis. Like, I don't know, crisis, but my emotions were all like bubbling. Like, how do we do this? How do we resolve all this? How do we? And I wasn't actually journaling at the beginning. And I was just like, you know, all these ideas are popping in my head and stuff. And I was missing my family. And where's my family? What do I do this? You know, where's my room? What do I do? And then I started journaling and I started writing. I think I wrote like a whole bunch of pages at 4 in the morning, right? And I'm expressing these ideas and dropping it down, and God will take care of these things. Like he'll mold and he'll move as he moves. And I really felt that sense that, you know, that our fellowship is we're moving, we're different, we're journeying, but it's healthy, we're moving, we're growing. One of the sessions that Anthony, which he's, I don't know if he came here, I know he came, anyway, I don't know if he came to Edmonton. I think he came to like one of the camps or whatever. Anthony, I went to school with him. I think I mentioned him before about the Jen Min, right? So talk about, he's sort of head of that. And he gave a section on leadership and emerging leaders, it was. And that was quite neat, you know. And one of the big things that he just mentioned was, you know, just show up and be intentional. You know, be intentional with the young group of people's lives and just show up. There was one pastor that shared something quite interesting. It was one of the American churches, and somehow this one kid, like he was 19, 20 or something like that, found out about our church, and I can't remember how, maybe it was through a garage sale or a fun day or something like that they put on, and he was like intrigued and thought, ah, interesting, you know. So then he went the one day to church on his bike, right? Rode his bike there, parked his bike, and found out about the church, you know, got, you know, engaged, and you know, people welcomed him in, and he felt part of the fellowship and stuff. And then as the time went on, he had developed this biking ministry where he got all his buddies that, you know, rode push bikes, and then there's like all these kids, you know, from this one guy that, you know, was, you know. So I thought that was interesting that, you know, we can share, we'd be deliberate in these young people's lives, and you never know where that they're going to, you know, expand. Here in Westlock, maybe, you know, as we share with people that are our workmates and say, you know, hey, you know, why don't we come, like the Christmas party is a great idea, and then they can expose themselves who we are and what we are. And maybe not the fact that they come to church, but just intentional, being in their lives and saying, you know, I want to share with you, you know, Bible study or time to share or talk or whatever. So it was lots and lots of ideas. And probably that's why I was kind of a bit blown away. It was just so much material. And, you know, maybe as I stop and reread my notes, I can kind of understand because there's, you know, a lot going on, and it's exciting. And I don't know if Bob mentioned that. It is exciting to see where our fellowship is moving and where we're going, and sort of some of the challenges we have, some of the good challenges, some of the bad challenges, as we move forward. I'm just looking for Jodakatch's end notes here, if I find it. He gave the last session, which talked about, here it is, seeing the light. So I guess looking out my back door was the first song, and then as long as I can see the light, sorry. I don't know, that's an oldie song. Anyway, he was mentioning there was lyrics to that. And his point was like, as long as I can see the light, so if I'm above ground, I am, you know, I'm going to keep ministering and doing stuff, is what he was saying. But he did mention, you know, that he was going to, retire on January 1st, 2019, and Greg Williams, which was neat to sort of see him, but we, you know, and then now he'll become, so he's doing that speaking of life, he'll sort of do less and, you know, more, and so as the transition over the next couple of years. He gives some nice updates, which is always a curious thing. So we talk about, you know, people that don't know about a church or a history of church saying, well, where are you? Just in Westlock? No, we're in Edmonton, we're in Red Deer, like Vancouver, okay, what? You know, like, okay, so, well, we're also in Africa, we're in New Zealand, what? You know, so people kind of like, really? So he gives some stats here, and I drew a little graph or something. I don't know if you can see that. Yeah, so probably a third of our fellowship is in Africa, so 14,000 people. A little sliver like is Caribbean and Latin America. Philippines is probably a good fifth or a sixth or something like that. That's in pink. U.S. is about a quarter, so that's in blue. Australia and Asia is like another one there. And Canada, we're probably, what, 2%, 5%, something like that? We're in red there, because I thought it was appropriate that red, because of Maple Leaf. And then U.K. and Europe. And that was kind of interesting. I don't know if I've got the next slide there. It shows, So at the bottom there, he wrote this, and I was quite interested, because I always thought, you know, what happened in our history? What happened? And that bottom graph there shows you kind of like from 1989, and then I guess the changes happened in 91, something like that, right? Sort of in there, they started. So the blue line there, the yellow line at the bottom is baptized members. And then the blue line would sort of be like non-baptized with the total attendance at the top there. So like 240,000. And then we had our changes, and then suddenly we went, you know, down to 65,000 with, you know, sort of the fellowship kind of, you know, as it went on down to 60 and then 55. And Jodakatch was like, you know, it's like, here, my reign is like this. But what he was saying positively was like, those numbers in the yellow, which are sort of committed people that are, you know, engaged, you know, baptized member that are active and stuff, that number is actually growing. So that's kind of neat. So we've got this sort of people that are in our fellowship are tuned to our fellowship, tuned to the Spirit. They're working, they're fellowshipping, they're, you know, they find, you know, it's their lights are turned on. So he's putting a question mark, well, what's going to happen in, you know, 2017, you know, which, well, we don't know. Maybe we might not even be here. We might be, you know, in paradise or in the other world. But he mentions that, you know, our identity is in Christ. And remember I talked about the Ghirardettos and then Kathy Detto saying, you know, we're heavy on looking for theologians and we want to know that we're right and our doctrine is correct. We've always been a fellowship that is just chased after truth. You know, Jodakatch talked about truth. Well, our fellowship is always chased after truth. And then it was revealed to us that we were not truthful. We were wrong. Oops. We changed. We went after that truth. You know, and you heard like those guys at the beginning saying, you know, this is unprecedented. You guys have done a remarkable thing. And I feel very proud of our fellowship that, you know, we would just focus and say, our identity is in Christ. If we find out, whoops, we make a mistake, we're going to follow him. We want to go follow him. We want to be with, you know. And that's why, you know, obviously some of these people that are mentioning that saying, you guys are an example to our community. You know, God has done an amazing thing and we should have, you know, this pride, or not really pride, but just, you know, humbleness of our history. But looking forward, saying, you know, we have a bright future because We are digging into truth. We're digging into what's right. You know, we're trying to figure out what is the model that works to help people. It's been mentioned in Africa that we go into the deepest dark corner, like, you know, where it takes 9 hours to get to a fellowship. That one person that wants to know and commune and have a, you know, a relationship with God, and we want to fellowship with that person. Our church is like that. We'll reach into those, you know, dark corners and stuff, and the way we're kind of built, you know, we've got indigenous people like Kali Guli, who is from Africa, and he's going into these places, or, you know, pastors that are there are moving into those places and reaching that, and I find that's very precious, and it's neat that our fellowship really wants to move there, and when we see, you know, what God wants for us, and we just move into that, and so that was kind of the whole conference in a nutshell. It was neat to see the kids were wearing these shirts, you know, we are GCI, and then a video saying, I am GCI, and everyone, you know, gets on the video, and they're different colors, different countries, different languages, and it's like, yeah, we're all one church, and we're all, you know, GCI, and it was a very neat way of kind of tying it all together. And the worship was amazing. Can you imagine 1,000 people from, you know, different countries, different languages, different, you know, ethnicities, and we're all worshiping together, and the music was great. I know I went to the front, because I know this is not technically a nation or a language, but the people that sign, you know, they have their own culture, they have their own kind of community or whatever, right, or outreach, right? So when I go and talk to a deaf person, I'm like, well, I'm stuck, like, I can write stuff down, like, I don't, but we have people in our fellowship that are very fluent in signing, and they were at the front, and they were sitting there signing as a community. It was very neat to see. And we're doing, I think, I can't remember here, but we're going to do something, an official singer's book or whatever. We're going to do, as a fellowship, we're going to do like a hymn in sign or something like that. Or sorry, an official sign Bible. Sorry, I got that wrong. So we're going to actually create that, because we have people in our fellowship that know how to sign and stuff like that. So we're going to actually make the first book. I didn't think there was none out there, but I guess as they can read through and read the Bible and sign, that was pretty interesting. But that's, you know, kind of an interesting thing that we saw there. Overall, very good trip. I spent quite a bit of time kind of diaritizing and trying to, you know, assimilate what we had there, and that's what conferences are for, to try and drink down, figure out what is God doing in our fellowship, what is he doing in Westlock, what is he doing in Edmonton, what is he doing, you know, with all of our lives, and, you know, how do we do that, how do we reach to the community, how do we, you know, get involved with certain things and make choices, as it were, and decisions and get involved with certain things as we feel the Spirit moving us. I was in Houston sort of at the tail end when we were riding there, and I saw a little chapel. It was kind of neat. And I sat there and I thought, oh, I'm going to actually sit here and ask God, you know, help me assimilate these things. Help me, you know, move to the future and walk through this path that you want myself, but also our church and in my family and stuff, and how that's all going to work. And I think those moments are precious. You know, God just blasts you with this so much material. And I was like, wow, you know. And then it's like, okay, as it trickles down and as you let the Spirit kind of move and you say, okay, so these are the opportunities. These are certain things that I can do and move. And I would, you know, come back saying that, you know, it's exciting. Like, our fellowship, you know, has life and there's excitement. There's, you know, we're going to move as we keep moving deliberately to be more in the community, to be more involved. And I ask that you pray and think about that, how we can, you know, move that and how we can aspire to, you know, share the gospel to more people and invite more people. And not necessarily just to come to church, but just to be involved in their lives, you know, and some of these things. So I hope that Bob would, you know, pull out some of the, you know, the sermon material and that we got. There was a lot, and I probably will borrow also. But needless to say, it was a great time. It was wonderful to share. I guess with that, we'll close the prayer. Almighty Father in heaven, Father, we thank you so much for being a part of your family. To know that we are, you know, we're safe, we're joyous, we're here. We've arrived at sort of a unity, a community, if we want to walk in with that, with you. Of course, we haven't reached the fullness. We're still walking and you know, bodies that need sleep, and they're aching and they're painful at times, and we go through hardships, and but we don't do that alone. We do that with you. You know, you share with us, you walk with us, you're with us, you're with our fellowship too, Lord, to see just how many exciting things are happening in different parts of the world, and to know that we're all together, we're joined, and when we talk to each other, and we have that community. We pray that we can share that hope. As we see on the news, we just see even more strikes of, you know, even people that I know that saw things like that, and just how horrific that is, and that we're not immune to what's happening in this world. It's terrible. It's awful. It is this world. But we pray that we can focus our attention and share with other people that when they get really worried and sad and discouraged, that there's a light. You know, there's a hope there for future. There's a God who loves them by name. All of us. So we just pray we can share that message, and we pray for our time now, and we thank you for all these things. In Christ's name, pray. Amen.